looking for a podcast to help you transform your physical and mental, one that'll shoot you straight between the eyes with truth and no BS, helping you have the right mindset to accomplish things, the iron will and fortitude to follow through with what you say you're going to do. No excuses. Mark owns martial arts schools, and after 30 years, he has some real insight for real talk, real life, real conversations, motivational, fitness, self-defense, weight loss, live from the Great 1-8. This is Real Talk with Mark Cox.
All right. Good morning and good afternoon to our East Coast friends. This is Mark Cox from Beyond the Mat. I got a great guest today. Coach Dale is with us today, and I get to interview him, you know, an author and a coach. So with no further ado, Dale, so we can get going. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and give everybody what it is your purpose in life is.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark. It's an honor to be here. My name is Dale Young. I am from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm a native Texan, been here all my life, except for 10 years in Australia. That may come up a little bit later or it may not. I inspire Christian entrepreneurs and business owners to discover and pursue their unique calling. Some people call this a divine destiny or an eternal purpose, but embracing your calling creates peace, direction, and joy. So step into your calling and craft your legacy.
Dale, your niche is with Christian entrepreneurs, correct?
Correct.
So are you a pastor?
I am not a pastor. I have never been a pastor. I'm a late life Christian, and I've never been called to the ministry. I'm called to serve in the business context.
That's good. That's good. And so I'll ask you this as a Christian to Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Is it, do you find that Christian entrepreneurs have a harder time when it comes to launching business where it's a ministry based on business or ministry? Do you ever find that?
It does happen sometimes for sure. I've actually struggled with that in my own business. It is definitely something that is out there in the mindset. You know, am I really delivering enough value to get paid for what I'm worth?
Isn't that always seems to be something in that realm for sure. I know that. And then there's the opposite end of this, right? That I found in me personally, that when I first started my school in 1990, I had a homeschool niche. And back in the 90s, most homeschool niches were all just Christian based anyway.
Sure.
That's who did it. And there's Nicola. How you doing, buddy? It's good to see you. Daniela's on. Hello, Daniela. Do you know Daniela and Emilio?
I have talked with Daniela, and I have had a Zoom chat with Emilio. Yes.
Oh, sure. That could go two ways. You could have a 15-minute talk to a 15-hour talk with Emilio.
Yeah. I think ours was about an hour.
That sounds about right. He's a good guy. I love that family. Mm-hmm. So I know that when I started, it was that particular group was so shocked that I'd even charge anything for a martial arts lesson. They felt that was a ministry, and why would I charge for it? And so that was always such a juggle to, and because I started, I don't know if you know this about me, but I started my karate career as a ministry at our church, at the Church of Rocky Peak. So it was my mm-hmm. brother and myself and one of my mentors, Ken Knight, you know, rest his soul, are the ones that started that. And Daniela says, we love Dale too.
That's good. Thank you, Daniela.
And so I had such a hard time with that in the beginning, and it turned me away from even doing homeschool anymore after that. Cause I don't know. I just thought, you know, I've always had this thought process, like if especially if you're a Christian or any, not just Christian, but a friend or somebody that you love, or they started their business, why are we trying to get deals? Why are we not just supporting? You wrote a book. I want to buy your book. I want to support what you did. You know, you've opened up a coffee shop. I'm going to be there. you know, to do that coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I just had, I've always had that part of that stigma. So that you're in that world. I just thought I'd ask that same question because it is a fine line for us, right? On the money making, because you can't run a business without charging something. So
that's right.
Right. You know,
if you have to charge, because especially with what I do with coaching, people don't value it unless you charge them.
Mm-hmm.
So they just don't see the value. And so, you know, once they start paying the money, then they get serious about it.
Yes, that's such good advice. That's good advice. So in the coaching realm, what made you dabble into that niche of Christianity? Did you see that there was a need for it, or what made you go that route?
Well, it actually started when I very first started into coaching. So back 2007 timeframe, I found out about life coaching as a profession, and I thought it was very serious, but I actually put it on the shelf because every research I could find all redirected me back to the secular side, and I wasn't finding anything spiritual at all during the time. And then in 2009, I'm walking through Half Price Books, and this book falls off the shelf and conks me on the head, figuratively, and the book is titled Christian Coaching. And so that led me then to the coach training school where I got my coach training, Professional Christian Coaching Institute. And then that just led me more and more down into the Christian coaching side of things. And so one of our verses that we use is Proverbs 20, verse 5. For the purposes in a person's heart are like deep water, but a person of understanding will draw them out. So everybody has these deep purposes in their heart, but a coach can come along, a coach or a mentor or a pastor or any type of helping profession, but especially for coaches, they can help draw those deep waters out of the heart. And so I actually named my business in 2011, Life Song Christian Coaching. And so that's actually the name of the business. Now, I had CoachDale.com as the URL, so I did a DBA of Coach Dale underneath it. And I actually like the little thing that when a secular organization engages Coach Dale and I put it into the bank account, it's going into Life Song Christian Coaching. I just get a little smile out of that.
And that's good. Now, do you find yourself who exactly is somebody that you coach? Are they business owners? Do you have pastors that are looking to maybe grow their church and need coaching? I do not have
pastors per se. I have been around pastors and given some advice to pastors, maybe given a little bit of free coaching to pastors. But I don't specialize in pastors. I find a lot of my people through Christian circles. It could be at the church. It could be in faith-driven entrepreneur groups. Could be Follower of One, which is a nonprofit that I support and I actually help out on the leadership team of. So there's several places, you know, and I'm always looking for other places where Christians gather. But really the best clients that I've had have been business owners, typically smaller, you know, like 10 employees or less. And they are typically people that are looking to bring their faith and work more together. You know, they have this urge to be a pastor type figure, but in their work. So a business leader, business owner, solo entrepreneur, any of those types of people, those are good clients for me.
Interesting. When you go and promote yourself at these events, tell me some events that you go at. Do you go speak?
I spoke at a writers conference about a couple of weeks ago, it was a Christian writers conference about getting your book written in 60 days. That was up in St. Louis. I do a lot of Zoom speaking as well. You know, I'm looking for more podcasts and other places just to get the message out there. Because I really do feel like when you are following your calling, you are living your purpose, you're living what God has designed you to do, and you're going to get more peace, more direction, and more joy when you do that.
Yeah, I definitely think that You know, I've spoke to this about my in my own children, that when you live a purpose and you have a purpose driven life, it's definitely easier to, I guess, live. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I've told my, when I first started in martial arts, this is Sam, looks like somebody that you help right there.
Mm-hmm. Sam's one of my favorite people.
So when I first started, you know, I was a machinist. I didn't really do school, and I was a machinist. That's what my folks, my dad and my grandfather did. And my great, great grandfather was a mechanic and a race car mechanic, as a matter of fact. And so I was in the machinist, and I was good at it, but I just didn't like it. And then mm-hmm. I started cleaning pools, you know, thinking I was going to be more of an entrepreneur that way, but had this urge to have this school. And I remember vividly, there was a turning point where a sink or swim, it was a layoff at the pool place, and it was all I had was a studio. So now I'm all in. So either it's going to happen or it's not going to happen at that point.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, 37 years later, I'm still there. So I get I definitely get living your passion, right? Because yeah. I couldn't imagine doing something else. I remember doing 40 hours a week, being at work at 6, you're doing 4-day work weeks, and then overtime on Fridays, living for the weekend. Just not what I, just wasn't what I envisioned in my life by any yeah. means. So how do you particularly help somebody that do you find that when you're coaching that you have people that want to do something, or you have people that are established already?
You know, it's probably about 60-40 on any particular year or month or whatever. It's pretty close to even. But, you know, you're talking about your passion there. Passion is one of the keys within my diagram. I was graced with God for a download of a framework, so to speak, a structure. And it's four interlocking circles, overlapping circles. And calling is really the piece in the middle. Passion is one of the sub-bullets between what abilities do you have, abilities that, you know, are natural abilities or maybe learned abilities or whatever, and what are the desires of your heart. And that is what I call the intersection of passion. And it sounds like you found that, whether it was by God incident, or I don't believe in coincidence, so it was a God incident that led you to it, or whether it was just something that you were kind of aiming at before or whatever. And some people find their calling that way. Some people will go through all of life and just never find it. And so, you know, it's a matter of they get to be retirement age and then they have really nothing to live for. And it's like, well, why are you here? You know, you're not done. You're still breathing. God still has a use for you. What are you going to do with that time? So you know, a lot of the people that I coach are really older, you know, midlife plus type thing, 45 plus type of age. And they basically are established. They have an idea of what they've been doing, and maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time for a redirection. Maybe it's time for, I just need to get more passionate about my hobby. One way or the other, you know, these are all valid avenues for people right, to pursue.
Yeah. So how'd you do through, were you coaching through the pandemic?
I was. I actually did a whole lot more coaching in 2020 than I did in any other year before or since, interestingly mm-hmm. enough. But I was really helping people with their who or their identity. Who are you? Who does God say that you are? Because there was a lot of questioning going on during the pandemic. And so going through that kind of exercise, I've got a structured exercise around the Clifton Strengths that really helps people through that.
Yeah, interesting. I talked to a lot of coaches about that. A lot of coaching business started through the pandemic, and those that were established already, it seems like they had, you know, they had kind of a boost in what they're doing. Let's talk mm-hmm. about a little bit about your books that you have. Is this written? I think you told me you had three books that you've written. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, okay. So I wrote one book and then I was part of two others. Let me be precise about that.
Co-author stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first book is The Identity Key. That came out in February 2020, just before the pandemic hit in March. And this is basically talking about all kinds of assessments that are out in the marketplace. I've been kind of an assessment junkie through my life. And so it was one of those things that just kind of seemed natural as a business card to get a book out for that. Of course, I didn't know that the pandemic was happening or whatever. But identity is one of the cornerstones of our pillars of my business. The next book came out in January of 23, Next Level Your Life. And it's a compilation book. There's like 40 people inside this book. Each of us wrote a chapter. What was interesting about that is I wrote that chapter, and it was during 22 that I was writing it. And it was during that period that I said, oh, my next pillar is really my calling. And it's really to coach around calling, because I really find a lot of people don't really understand their calling, don't really follow their calling, don't really pursue their calling. And so I ended the chapter in that book with, I know what my calling is, and my calling is to inspire calling in other people. So that's what it comes down to. And then in November of 22, after I'd turned in the chapter, but before the book was actually launched, I get that diagram download with four circles, right? And so I jumped into the next compilation book, which was called The Transformational Journey. This came out in October of 23. And once again, 40 people in it or whatever. During that chapter, I actually wrote about the calling framework and actually got the framework in the book so that people could actually see what I was talking about. There it is. See if that shows
up
there.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was interesting. Both of those books that came out in 23 hit Amazon number one bestseller in multiple international categories. So Next Level was number one in 31 categories, and Transformational Journey was number one in 60 categories.
So how do you like doing anthologies? So I've done a few of these now myself. So how did you like doing anthologies over your
own book? I liked it because it wasn't as much pressure on me. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a lot easier to get the book out. It was a lot easier to hit number one in multiple categories because you had so many people behind it and pursuing it and getting it out. So it got a little bit more attention than the first book. But on the other hand, it doesn't really give me enough room to tell my story. And so eventually I'm probably going to be writing a book about calling and about identity and calling, and also community. Community is another big piece of my coaching business, is how do you build a community? How do you join a community? What kind of communities do you look for? Because we're not lone rangers. We're meant to exist and work together in community.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. When you talked about in the beginning, you said you were in Australia for a while. What did that look like? How long were you in Australia for? Was it ministry based or was it coaching based?
It was actually neither of those. It was actually my previous career, which was information technology, i.e. computers. Mm-hmm. And I was working for a defense contractor. I went down there in January of 82 and stayed 3 years, came back for two, and then actually ended up going back for another seven. And so it was a long-term thing, but that was actually the start of what I call my calling journey. Was in 1992, I actually had an experience. They had started taxing one of the benefits, and we were all at lunch and we were all griping about this tax on the benefits and threatening to quit and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the tax on the benefits was like this much, whereas the benefits were like this much. So, you know, it was like really minor. And out of my mouth, I mean, I was complaining right there with them, but out of my mouth came this phrase, well, this is just a job, not a career. And that's really, when I look back on it, that was the launching point of me going and looking for what is it bigger? What is the bigger thing that I'm looking for? And so going through that process, I started doing that. I wasn't even a follower of Christ at that point. It was not until 1998 that I actually became a follower of Christ. And that was part of the journey as well. But, you know, just getting a bigger and bigger sense of okay, what is it that's out there for me? And eventually, what is it that God has for me?
Interesting. So did you come back to the States, then start coaching? Is that how it came about? Did you make a change in your career?
I made a change in the career, but it was to other IT work for a while. And then in 98, like I said, I became a follower of Christ. And then in 2004, I went through some experiential-based training and volunteered for them from 2005 to 2009. And really enjoyed it. And that's where I got introduced into life coaching, like I said, in 2007. And then the book falling off the shelf and hitting me on the head in 2009. Yeah. That was really what I call the start of my coaching career there. That's really where I started pursuing coaching and learning about it.
So in your coaching, when you have it, what do you think that most people in your coaching are looking for? What are they calling? What is your specialty that somebody's calling you that says, this is my specialty, this is where I can take you to what level? Tell me what your expertise is.
So a lot of it revolves around, they don't know exactly who they are, or they don't know exactly why they're here. And those can manifest in multiple ways. It can manifest as lack of direction, lack of purpose, lack of trying to follow the world and being tossed to and fro on the waves of the sea, so to speak. I call it direction for a lot of what I'm talking about. I feel like when you don't have that direction, you don't have that rudder, that North Star, whatever it is that you're aiming for, shiny objects get in your way. You can just go wherever the wind's blowing you, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So any type of sense of loss or sense of not really feeling like you got a direction to go. And also the feeling internal that says, I was made for more, but I just don't know what that more is. Those are the people.
You say you're what was the word you said? Assessment guy.
Yeah.
So when you talk about that, do you have any kind of assessment tests that are taken that you see where people lie, what their purpose is? Explain to that. You're an assessment guy. What does that mean?
Well, it means I've taken a whole bunch. I wrote the book on them. You know, I've studied them. I've built other ones. I've talked with other people that have built other assessments. I can see when I take an assessment how you can cheat it if you're trying to fudge it. I can look at a lot of results and then talk with the people and can tell pretty quickly, like within the first 5 or 10 minutes, if they've tried to fudge something. So there are things like that I can do. The assessment that I use the most is the Clifton Strengths because it has the deepest dive into exactly who you are and how you were created. It actually has like 34 talents, and knowing and it gives you a list of which talents came out in which order for you. Well, if you have the same top 7 talents as anybody else in the world, the chances just statistically are 1 in 28 billion. Okay. There's only 8 billion people on the planet. So you're pretty unique just from that, right?
Yeah.
And so, but going through the process, which is a 5-session coaching process, doing a deep dive into each of those 34 talents, can really understand people and help them understand themselves and understand how God created them, how God wired them, how God maybe tweaked their lives so that they got emphasized in some certain ways or another. And that really helps them understand who they are.
So do you, in those circles that you have, mm-hmm. Those would be your principles. Is that correct that you talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that part of when you coach, or is that part of an assessment that you're looking at these components and then you take on whatever unique that individual is that they need to be coached on? How does that work?
Yeah. So they would engage to say, okay, so I've got 3 big pieces, identity, community, and calling. They can hire me for the whole package, or they can do 1/3 at a time. If they do the identity piece, the first thing they do is they take the Clifton Strengths Assessment. And then we do the five sessions, okay? And they really understand who they are. Then we add on a spiritual gifts assessment to bring in that that direction. And we add on a couple of values assessments. And we put all of those together and then integrate those all. You really know your identity at that point. You're who, okay? Then we move over to the community piece. If you want to continue on, you move over to the community piece. We start talking about how do you, first of all, we put you into our community so that you're amongst all these people that have already been through the identity piece. They already know this. They're on the calling side of things. They're trying to really follow their calling at this point. And so you get into that community. You have the support of the community there. You also have... we go through some processes to help you decide, do you want to build your own community? You know, like you've built your own with your podcast, right? You've got people that follow you because of your podcast. Okay.
Yes. Correct.
Some people want to build their own. Some people don't. So how do you find the communities that you want to be a part of? How do you find them? How do you get into them? How do you become there? And then how do you craft that along with all your family, all your other stuff that is in your life, right? Family, friends, whatever. How do you put all of these together? Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to get out of your life a little bit. You know, maybe there are people that drag you down. Maybe there's some people that you need to bring into your life that are going to lift you up. Yeah. Okay. How do you do that? So you eventually craft your own personal support system with through that process. And then the third piece is the calling piece. That's where you really go deep into those four circles. Which they are basically what provides income, what abilities do others affirm, what makes your heart cry, and what are the desires of your heart. And then you put all of those together and you really understand how those fit, how those go through. And then that gives you a really great, and this is where all along I'm doing coaching for each personal person, right? But it's also getting very much more specific at that point. And so they're actually following it. It's not a canned system. It's something that I just really have to work with each individual and see, all right, what are you going for? And I'll make some suggestions, but I'm not going to tell them what to do. I don't know enough. I'm not God.
Yeah, understood. So I know that Clifton test you're talking about because I have done this with my own employees to see. Because in my world, the assessment thing you're talking about, I always feel like I'm pretty entrepreneur minded. So I'm kind of a, you know, I have that type A driven personality and it's just always go, go, go. It's always this, it's always that. And I just feel that people that are entrepreneurs, they're just like me. And it always flabbergasts me when I figure out, oh, not everybody's like me. And
that's true.
And including my own son, right? How he would run the school. Yeah, I know it's completely different than what I would, right? And even my middle son, he knows my personality, right? He's more of my free spirit type son, right? And I'm like, and he's like, I'm like, go. And I have Andy Frisella on, or I've got some motivational stuff. I'm out there pumping iron. I'm disciplined. I'm in fight class all the time. And I'm just moving and grooving and making things happen. And he's like, Dad, all this rah-rah stuff is not me. And I'm like, what, how in the world can that possibly be when you are, you've been around me your whole freaking life? And so it still mind boggles me because I think where I fall short, I don't know if this is some of when you have your coaching, but where I fall short is when they don't act like I do, I just get pissed off. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't understand when I ask you to do something. And then you start taking these assessment tests and you're like, wow, they're not even motivated by nothing like that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
There's a great assessment that I've just become certified in called the Working Genius. It's by Patrick Lencioni, who did the Five Dysfunctions of a Team book and several other books as well. But the Working Genius basically says there's six categories, okay? There's six ways that you approach work. Work being anything, could be running a coaching school or running a martial arts school, It could be running a coaching practice. It could be writing a book. It could be setting the dinner table at home. Okay. There's six ways that you approach work, and they're wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. The theory, the working genius assessment says that we all have two geniuses that give us energy out of those six. There's two that are competencies, they're kind of neutral, and there's two that are frustrations, and the frustrations are the ones that drain us of energy. Now, this is not saying anything about how well we do any of those six. We could do all six of them really well, okay? But if we're not working in the genius, we're going to be exhausted at the end of the day, okay? And it's actually interesting because Patrick Lencioni's own sons are both radically different from what he is. and he's radically different from what his father was, okay? And so it's really interesting how it works together, even in just a family dynamic, to say, okay, I understand that this is the way it goes. You know, I understand this is the way you're going to naturally approach life and the way you're going to naturally approach anything that comes up for you. And this is the way it needs to happen right now because of this type of thing. So just knowing those types of things. And that's a really easy assessment to do. It takes like 15 minutes and it's like $25. And it's I can't recommend it highly enough.
And that's the Working Genius Assessment Test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just go to workinggenius.com and find it. Or I'm happy to provide the link and our debrief if you want it.
And so let's talk about that, right? So do you have people that are like that? Like, hey, I need to be a better team leader. I'm not pulling the strength from my team.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Then somebody like me, you know, I'm on the go. And if you don't do it, then I'm just going to run over you and do it myself. Right. This is, and I know this about me. I know where my strengths and weaknesses are. And that's just one of them for sure. Mm-hmm. And I find that, okay, maybe I'm asking him to do something or her that is not in their wheelhouse that, you know, cause as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, I had to do everything in the beginning. I was the janitor. I was the salesperson. I was the program director. I was the instructor. After classes, I was the, I cleaned up after everybody and I did it all. So, yeah. And I feel, I don't know, tell me what you think, coach. I've often told my son the same thing. And I said, hey, look, you know, one of the things, Michael, that you missed out on is I grew this. And I did all the bumps in the roads, and now it's kind of a machine. Mm-hmm. So you missed all the heartaches and the sleepless nights that, you know, how am I paying employees and how am I making the rent and doing all this stuff because I did that.
Right.
Now, yeah. What's your thought? You know, if you had somebody like me that's asking, hey coach, this is how, you know, I feel that they missed out on this because they didn't really build it. They're just second generation now that maintains it. And usually third generation loses it, correct? Because then it starts to even be down. What's your thought on that?
Oh, absolutely. It's very, very natural. Most entrepreneurial businesses don't even exist past 3 years, much less 10 years or 20 years or 50 years type of thing, right? And so as you grow a business, there are different things that have to happen. You know, you have to get more structure, more processes, more systems, more all of this, right? You have to turn it in the words of the E-Myth by Michael Gerber, the E-Myth Revisited, you know, you've got entrepreneur, technician, and manager, right? And then eventually you have to have and salesman and all the other things, right? But the entrepreneur has the dreamer. If you don't have that dreamer pushing and growing the business, it's just going to stagnate. If you don't have the technician actually doing the stuff, doing all the little bits and pieces, taking out the trash and cleaning up the mats afterwards and whatever, the school's not going to run. If you don't have the manager that keeps these two in line and keeps them working together and, you know, spending some time, it's just not going to work. And so this is where the working genius can really help you as a team because really all types of work need all six of these geniuses. Okay. And each person's only going to have two as a genius. So when you get a team big enough that you can have all six of the geniuses covered, then realize, hey, that person is not like me. And I need to lean into what they are good at. I need to lean into their strengths. I need to lean into how God designed them and use their God-given talents to help grow this whole business. That's when you can start really working together in a very complementary way.
Do you have clients that are looking for that type of coaching to make their team stronger?
Sometimes, yes. I was just doing last Friday. I was doing a team assessment with a little electrical company. One guy got three employees, and his wife does social media, so there was five of them. He had a new employee come in, and so we did the team assessment, and everybody took the thing. I put the team map together from their individual working genius assessments. And it was really interesting how he wants to do like Monday morning meetings, right? That's what he wants to do to keep people encouraged and whatever. But he's not good at running them, because galvanizing, that's the rah-rah, get everybody on board, get everybody moving in the right direction, right? Galvanizing was one of his frustrations. But he's got another guy that's got galvanizing that does this kind of naturally. And so he's looking at maybe letting him run the Monday morning meetings to get everybody fired up and going out.
Well, that's something that I have. You know, I really feel that, I think I'm a strong leader in certain areas, and I think I'm a weak leader in others. Mm-hmm. And it's always frustrated me, like, it frustrates me that everybody's not like me. So let's just say that. Okay. Right.
What a boring world it would be if everybody was just like you. Right.
Right. And I'm like, I cannot for the life of me figure out how you guys are not on board with the way this needs to be, man. And I know there's certain things that I know, right. I know if you don't do these things, because I've already done it. See, that's the thing, right? Yeah, a lot of my teams never experience. Like when I look at you and I say, I've already done this. That's why people that I coach that are running a martial arts business, I have a lot of insights, and you are going to stay away from landmines that I've already done, because I'm not gonna let you step into that craziness. So, that's how I help people grow there and learn how to make money in martial arts, right? So that you can sustain employees or whatever. And so I have all that experience, and they're willing to talk about that. But I tell them all the time, and I hear often, I'm going to do this working genius thing. I may even call you and say, hey, I'm going to have my team do this. Now you're going to help me know how I can work together with these guys. Do you put the whole team on so everybody can talk about, or do you just work with the main guy? How does that go about?
Normally what I do is I do the main guy to get him up to speed. Then I do the whole team to get them up to a certain level where everybody understands what we're really trying to do here. And part of what's great about the Working Genius is it provides a language. So that when you're in a meeting or something, you can say, okay, I don't need your invention right now. We're down in tenacity. We need to get the job done here. And so you can actually help people understand what you're talking about and when you're going. And then if there's needed more stuff, I typically work straight with the leader of the organization on that. And if he wants to bring in the whole set of people, we can do it at that point as well. Not sure what happened. I don't know if Mark had a network glitch. There we go.
I don't know. All of a sudden I'm there and then you're not. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. What the heck happened? So I'm interested in what we're talking about there, because I think I don't like going in meetings and it's just a bow breeding all the time. Right. And matter of fact, it, after the meeting, I'm not feeling good about it. So it's just better not to have the meeting. That's how it worked. Because, and then of course you don't communicate everything. And so then you have lack of communication, and you can just see the kind of the sprinkling of things down and how to try and now, and the other thing, I'm unique in my place is because, a lot of these people that are with me, I've had them since they're kids. Mm-hmm. Now they're working for me. So they started like a 3 to 4 year old. Now they're 20, 25, 28, and they're working in the studio. And, you know, they have this, oh, this is Mr. Cox. And, you know, and then, but I'm trying to build this entrepreneur team. And I get that sometimes when you're the owner of the business, your employees may not be as into, as, you know, what it should be like I am, because they're not the owner.
Right.
But sometimes I feel like you should be working like the owner, but even though they're not. So I think that I have unrealistic expectations sometimes on certain people. And my son that helps me run the school is on a different level. How he'll run the school is way different than what I do. Like to the point of, I remember him having a conversation with me, and it made a lot of sense. Like, we closed down for about 10 days during the Christmas holiday, you know, and then we usually repaint or whatever we do. I've done this for years, and I worked those 2 weeks making the school all look really nice and stuff like that. And last year he wasn't here very much. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing all this work, and then you're not here. And he goes, Dad, why, if you're giving everybody 2 weeks off, why don't you just take your 2 weeks off? Why don't we just pay somebody to come in and do all the stuff that you want to do? If you want it cleaned, why don't we take $300 and make it clean? And why are you working? And why are we having all the employees work? And see, I never even looked at it that way. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, that's how Michael would run it too. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot more happier people than what I am, because I'm wanting you to hump during those 2 weeks and get this thing open back up and ready to go. So, you know, so as a business owner too, you have to be willing to listen. You can't just like, well, you know what? Because I could flip script and go, you know, this is what I'm talking about. You weren't here to build it. You know, you don't have it. It's not your baby, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had to respect that for sure. You know what I mean? So I definitely understood what that's saying right there.
Yeah. Well, you don't treat a baby business the way you treat an adolescent business, the way you treat a mature business, right? Just like you don't treat a baby the same way you treat an adolescent or then a mature person, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to understand the stages of your business, where it is, what are you trying to accomplish with it? What are your goals? What are your mission, vision, values? All of those things. Those all have to be really understood by everybody from top to bottom for it to really work well as a machine.
Yeah. This has been awesome, Dale. This has been, I told you, this is where things happen when I do these podcasts, where, cause I know in my world, this is something that is talked about. Is your employees happy? Mm-hmm. Keeping employees in a martial arts school is not easy because the business doesn't produce so much money that it can have a bunch of careers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And how do you keep them happy, and how do you keep them staying, or how do you give them a path that, hey, maybe one day you'll have your own school? Cause I have quite a few students that have their own schools. So it's been, you know, that's been really excellent as far as that goes, you know, and watching the leaders, and now it's spidered out to what they do. And but you know, all those ones that own schools have that same frustration I'm talking to you about right now. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. What do we have? How do we make the team work together? What's everybody's strength? And then when you talked about assessment, I just think that that was a powerful lesson for sure. What you're talking about. So
yeah, it's the best teamwork assessment that I've seen out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, it's really good. So before we kind of dabble up and end on this, Dale, why don't you go ahead and tell people where they can find you, number one, okay, and then how to get a hold of you. And then I will make sure in notes that when I produce this, that we'll make sure that you have all that that conversation.
All right. Okay? Sounds good. Best way is to find me wherever. I'm on all the social things. So website is coachdale.com. LinkedIn is, you can just look for @coachdale. Facebook is at Coach Dale Young. You know, you can find me if you look for me. Look for Coach Dale Young, and if you want to add in Texas, it'll always make it pretty unique for me. Best way to actually get a hold of me is via email, and that's dale@coachdale.com. And I love to get email, love to respond to people and whatever. I am doing another five-day challenge in the near future on May 13th, and it's called Step Into Your Calling. And you can find that into stepintoyourcalling.com. And that'll teach you a whole lot more about what I do with the four circles and also the who, where, and why icons as well.
What does those 5 days entail? What is that?
Basically, for four of the 5 days, we're going to dive deep into each one of those four circles and really unpack it, help you understand exactly what that means. Help you understand my coaching system, coaching process as well. And then the fifth day, we kind of integrate it all together and say, okay, how do you take this forward? What are your next steps from there? And it's an hour a day. It's not like five whole
hour
days.
A day. Yeah, hour a day, yeah. five days.
And it's on Zoom.
It's on Zoom. This is great. This has been, this has been good for me, Coach, what we're talking about, because I see a need for this, especially in the network inside your team, just from an entrepreneur's standpoint. Then you have the Christian aspect that you talk about, and you know, and how to keep the principles of that alive within the organization. Yeah. And then maybe somebody that you have doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love to help people get on the path and stay on the path.
Yeah,
their path.
So good, Coach. I've really enjoyed this time with you. I think that this is going to help. Now, listen, anybody that's on there listening, you can always also ask questions. If you're on the replay, ask questions. I'll make sure that Coach Dale gets everything that we have. I will have an audio podcast of this also. And so once the audio podcast is out, I'll send you links so that you can send the audio side of this. I also will have some clips for you, Coach, that you can kind of share. I have an AI that will take the best parts of our show, make them into minute clips so that you can have them for your social media and get your name out there to help other, you know, especially Christian out there. I think it's something good because we struggle. I'm telling you, we struggle with this. We struggle with loving God and not wanting to punch somebody in the face. So, you know, so that's, you know, and I know my weaknesses. That's the one thing about me. I do know my weaknesses. Sometimes we don't know how to, that's what the coach comes in and says, hey, listen, if you want to have a better response here, this is how you have to do it. Because it just, you know, that's just one thing that hinders me personally. So
yeah.
Any last words for our group today before we end, bro?
I always like to end with this question. What's the difference between an inheritance and a legacy? Okay. And there's always lots of right answers, but I like this answer. The difference is one word of two characters. An inheritance is what you leave to someone. A legacy is what you leave in someone. So go out and craft your legacy.
Man, that's so powerful. That is the way to end a podcast right there, sir. Excellent job, Coach. So glad I got to spend this time with you. I look forward to helping you impact other people's lives through this podcast. You guys have
thank you.
Right?
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir. Have an awesome day.
You've been listening.
No, my outro.
You've been listening to Real Talk with Mark Cox. Real life, real topics, real conversation. We're passionate about motivation, fitness, self-defense, weight loss, and coming at it from a real angle. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. And we hope you had fun. We know we did. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook at MarkCox100. Make sure to subscribe and review. And tell a friend or two about the show. For more, hit up the website at markcox.com. Till next time.